Okay, today I'm just going to have one session on Minhagim. Being that we have just started Masechta Shabbos, so I want to go over, start a series of Shiurim about Minhagim relating to Shabbos. And I'm going to try to go over different Sfar. I'm not going to go stick to one Sefer and supplement different things that I present. But I want to start with this Sefer. This Sefer is a wonderful Sefer by Rav Yitzchak Sender. It's called The Commentator's Shabbos Prayers. Rav Yitzchak Sender has probably about at least 10 Sfarim like this. And each one is a masterpiece. What I like about the Sefer is he presents Yesodos, things that we all should know, but unfortunately, like the basic Yesodos in Yom Tov, in Shabbos, in Tefillah, that we should know, but for some reason, I read these things like, oh wow, I never knew that, and how come we don't know that? So let's... He is a Talmud of Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. I believe he lives in Chicago. I could be mistaken. Does not live here in the metropolitan area. He lives in Chicago. That's what it says here in Chicago. And he's a giant, giant Talmud Chacham. I know someone that knew him personally. Here in Flatbush, he moved away. This person that knew him personally, he praised him to the greatest degree. He was, I think, he learned with him, or he knew him from the days when he learned by Rav Soloveitchik. So he has it's a very, very good Sefer. So I'm going to run through just a couple of short things. I don't have a lot. Just a few Yesodos that I found to be very interesting. Let's first start with lighting candles. So lighting candles, what bracha do women make when they light candles? So it's brought down the Shulchan Aruch. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'mitzvanu l'hadlik ner shel Shabbos. Now what's very interesting, I never knew this, is that where does this come from? It comes from a Yerushalmi. It comes from Yerushalmi in the Sechta Beitza. And there the Yerushalmi is primarily discussing not Shabbos, but Yom Tov. L'halik ner shel Yom Tov. And then it says, and also we do the same thing for Shabbos. But in the Yerushalmi in the Sechta Berachos, this is just the idea to be aware of, there's a different bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'mitzvanu l'halik ner l'chvoid Shabbos. There's an extra word, in honor of Shabbos. So there is a stira between the Yerushalmi Masechta Beitza and the Yerushalmi Masechta Brachas. Is the correct nusach l'halik ner shel Shabbos or l'halik ner l'chvoid Shabbos, in honor of Shabbos? Chanukah, there are different minhagim. There are different things on the sitter. Some have shell. Yeah.
There are those who I've seen leave out the word shell
on Shabbos as well. Yeah. Okay, there are different minhagim. Let me take a look at what it says here in the article. This is Yaftanus Nusach Ashkenaz. Let's see what it says here. Kabbalas Shabbos. Here it says lahalik ner shel Shabbos. Absolutely different. There are different minhagim. So, what is the point of disagreement between the two different Mesechlis and Yerushalmi? Is the correct bracha lahalik ner shel Shabbos or lahalik ner lechvoid Shabbos? Rav Yaakov Emdin, he explains, it's not only from Yaakov Emdin, there are a sender. I'm not even exactly sure where he's taking this. There are two dinim in Shabbos. Very interesting. There's a din of kavod Shabbos, to honor Shabbos, and there's a din of oinik Shabbos, to enjoy Shabbos. We enjoy Shabbos, and we give honor to Shabbos. He explains that things that we do l'chavod Shabbos must be done before Shabbos. Things that we do to enjoy Shabbos, oinik Shabbos, are things that are done on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos we have a good meal. Now of course, having a good meal is an honor to Shabbos, but the primary focus of enjoying the meal is oinik, delight in Shabbos. Giving honor to Shabbos are things, of course, but any anything that must be done before Shabbos is in the category of Kvoid Shabbos. You clean your clothing before Shabbos. You get everything, you purchase all of the things that you're going to need for Shabbos. All of these things are the Kvoid Shabbos. Now, it's interesting, that's a very big difference between, this is where it gets very confusing, the difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos. On Yom Tov, that we have a loy pluk. We say whatever you say for Shabbos, you say for Yom Tov. I assume everyone makes the bracha. Asher k'deshon b'im says fun, l'halik ner shel Shabbos, says l'halik ner shel Yom Tov. And those, I'm not aware anyone does this, I don't know from the various minhagim, but if a person were to say l'halik ner l'chvoid Shabbos, he would say l'halik ner l'chvoid Yom Tov. But the truth is, it really should be one. There should be a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov, when do you light neris of Yom Tov? You light it on Yom Tov itself. You can light it, and it could be that ideally you should light it on Yom Tov, especially the second day you light on Yom Tov itself. So then it's lahalik ner shel Yom Tov. It's not l'chvoid Yom Tov, because the primary purpose of why you have the neros, which we'll get to a little bit in a few moments, is oinek. You should see what you're eating. Right, when you light, why do we have ner Shabbos? There are many reasons. Main reason is shalom bayis, is that if there's light in the home, there's not going to be less of a possibility that there will be strife in the home. Bump into someone, and you can eat, you can see what you're eating, and by seeing what you're eating, that will enhance the enjoyment of the food. That's the primary reason. Yeah?
This becomes a very big issue where we've had the problem. You're invited somewhere else for a meal.
Correct.
Where do you light? Where are you going to sleep? Or where are you going
to... Okay, that's a very big issue.
That's a big issue.
It's a big issue. So generally, it's where you sleep. Yeah, absolutely. What's the primary reason why you're lighting? So the primary reason is because you see what you're eating, and it should be shalomais. But it's also, there's a certain degree of you giving honor. By lighting in there, it brings about a certain reminder, a certain sanctity for Shabbos. It's an honor for Shabbos. However, being that the primary focus is to enjoy the meal, it's really oinek Shabbos. So what bracha should you make? You not make l'chvoid, because l'chvoid is something that's not the right bracha. It's an oinik. So oinik would be asher k'deshon b'mitzvah l'halik ner shel Shabbos, which automatically by default is the enjoyment. But you cannot do this on Shabbos itself. You're not allowed to light a ner on Shabbos itself. You have no choice but to light the ner before Shabbos. Oh, if you're doing it before Shabbos in preparation for what's going to be on Shabbos, that automatically fits into the category of kavod. So then the bracha should be l'chvoid Shabbos. But it's not really l'chvoid Shabbos, it's for the oinig of Shabbos. So it's a catch-22, you're stuck in the middle. The Yom Tov, when you can light the ner on Yom Tov itself, then ideally you should say for Yom Tov l'chvo, you can say l'halik ner shel Yom Tov, because you'll do it on Yom Tov itself and you'll enjoy the sudas Yom Tov by seeing the food and having also some degree of peace in the home. However, for whatever reason, Shulchan Aruch, it's recorded that the proper bracha is to say l'halik ner shel Shabbos. We do not say l'halik ner shel l'chavoy Shabbos. Okay, I don't have a very obviously very deep understanding of this issue, but I just want to bring that to this your attention, that there is such a machloikis in the Yerushalmi. Is the bracha l'chavoy Shabbos? Is it l'halik ner shel Shabbos? And this has the application in Shabbos and Yom Tov. And there also happens to be two different aspects of Shabbos: Oinek Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos. And Kavod is something which you can only do in advance. Oinek is something you do in the moment of Shabbos. And somehow all of these things have to play together, and there's going to be contradictions. It's not going to work out. And Halacha has to take a line, has to take a stand somewhere. And the bottom line is, most of us, the custom is to say l'halik ner shel Shabbos. Just want to bring that interesting thing to your attention. Okay, another very interesting thing, why we light ner Shabbos. Besides all the reasons of Shalom Bayis and Kavod Shabbos, we had this before in the Gemara. We discussed it at great length, the Stokin. on Yom HaKippur, we discussed in reference to Yom Kippur, the big, big thing of the Tzedokim was to light the Keteris before they come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was an ongoing battle between the Purushim and the Tzedokim at the time when the Talmud and Halacha was formulated. And one of the major differences between the Purushim and the Tzedokim is, are you allowed to light a ner on Shabbos? How do you interpret the pasuk? The Torah says very little about the melachos of Shabbos. All it says, lo sevaru eish b'chol moshvo sechem b'yom haShabbos. And according to the Tzedokim, that means fire may not be lit in the entire, to be taken literally. One may not have hot food, one may not have light, and that means that Tzedokim, there was no ner Shabbos. Because lighting a ner, Erev Shabbos, in preparation for Shabbos, means even Mechal Shabbos. So it's a fascinating thing. When you light ner Shabbos, it's a statement. I'm not a Tzedoki. There's no bigger statement than saying, I'm not a Tzedoki by lighting a ner Shabbos. We don't appreciate how powerful this is. It's one thing, Yom Kippurim, no one knew. Is the Kohen Gadol a secret Tzedoki? Like, you know, the Maranos, the Conversos, all the, who is the person? What's his real identity? Is the Kohen Gadol a Tzedoki? What's he going to do? No one is allowed to be present at the time when he lights the Keteris in the Beis HaMikdash. No one knows what's happening. Will he light the Keteris outside and bring it inside? Or will he go and light it up inside? Like he's supposed to light the Keteris after you enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Tzedok Munechshad in lighting the Keteris before you enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Kohanim had to take the Kohen Gadol aside and make him swear that he would do it Kehalacha. And then the Kohen Gadol would cry. No one knew. But when it comes to Shabbos, it's obvious. There's a ner lit in your house, that means you're not at Tzedoki, and that's a very important point. When you light ner Shabbos, you're making that statement even ad hayom hazeh. Okay, next idea. Let's jump to
Christian,
yeah.
Especially if they came from Mexico or Southwest.
Okay.
They hear stories of
tradition.
Grandmother who was a Catholic
would light candles.
And no one knew why she lit candles.
Right. And they never ate pork. And they spring cleaning. Yeah. There are a lot of strange men hugging. There are a lot of stories like this. Mexicans, they were secret. Yeah. There are a lot of stories. So unfortunately, a lot of them can't prove their yichus.
That's that single thread.
Yeah. Yeah, but some of them, what's very interesting is they have a yearning. It's
yeah.
It's in them, and it comes out. They want to identify with Judaism, and the spark is within them, and they come forward, and they since now doors is not. Okay. And now let's go to something very interesting. Now let's go to Kabbalah Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos. How are we Mekabel Shabbos? We Mekabel Shabbos with the recital of Luchun Rana, the six Mizmar. Before we just discuss Halacha, a person, Alpi Halacha, is allowed to do Malacha until he says Baruch Hu. Even though we are Mekabel Shabbos by reciting Kabbalah Shabbos, you do not accept upon yourself Shabbos until you recite Baruch Hu. You can still do Malacha. Of course, provided, yeah.
So it depends.
There are differences of opinion. I take it back. There's a difference of opinion if you makabel the time Baruch Hu, or you makabel the time when you say Mizvah Shalom Shabbos. So let's leave that out. I don't remember. I'm not sure. A woman certainly is makabel Shabbos when she lights candles. When she lights candles, she's makabel Shabbos and no more can be done. But we are Makav the custom to accept upon ourselves Kabbalah Shabbos with. Yes, a woman can make it tonight. Yes. She can Makabal, but we are Makabal Shabbos with the recital of Mizmar of the. We have the six Mizmar, Luchun Ranana, Shula Hashem, Hashem Moloch, Mizmar, Shula Hashem, Shir Chodosh, Hashem Moloch, and Mizmar, these are the Mizmar of Tzadi Hei, Tzadi Vav, 95, Tehillim, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. And then we jump to, was it 23? They don't have it over here, the number yet, 29. We jump to 29. Six Mizmoirim are said in preparation for L'chun Aranina. We then sing Lechun Arano, which we'll discuss separately another time. And then after Lechun Arano, we recite Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos and Hashem Moloch Geulos Lavesh. What is going on? What is this all about? What's going on? Before we say Baruch Hu, every Friday night, six chapters from Tehillim, and then we take a break. We break by saying Lechun Arano. And then after the break is over of Lechun Arano, we say another two chapters, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos Hashem Moloch Geulos Lavesh Lavesh. What is this all about? So he explains to you in a very beautiful way number of ideas. But first, let me tell you a beautiful gematria. Beautiful gematria that if you count the number of words in these eight chapters, the first six before Lechun Arano, and the two chapters of Tehillim after Lechun Arano, there are exactly 702 words. And 702 is Begematria Shabbos. That's a fascinating gematria. Six before Lechun Arano, L'chododi is a piyut. A piyut doesn't come anywhere as close to the sanctity of a mizmor in Tehillim. This is the ikar. We recite basically eight chapters in Tehillim in preparation for Shabbos. We are mafsik between 6 and 2 by reciting a piyut that was composed by, who composed the piyut?
Al-Kapaz.
Yeah. Rav Shlomo Al-Kapaz and Mekubal Tzfas. Mekubal and Tzfas in the 16th century. All of this, these inyanim are Kabbalistic inyanim that come from Tzfas. And this is mafsik between the first 6 and the last 2. But they have a total of 702 words, which equal gematria of Shabbos. A fascinating thing to be aware of. Now, why are there 6 and 2? Now, the first 6, many of the commentators explain, correspond to the 6 days of the week. And there are different commentaries that try, it's very hard, nothing works out so well to match, okay, this is a good project, to match the study Tehillim, the mizmos in the first mizmos, to match the theme of this mizmor with the theme of the mizmor that we say every day for the yom, hayom yom rishon l'shabbos. Now this one is very easy, this one works out, because the theme mentioned here of the first mizmor is Asher lo hayom v'hu asahu v'yabeshes yodav yatzaru. The mizmor Lechun Arano mentions creation, right? Asher lo hayom, Hashem created this, the Bereishis Bor Elokim is Hashamayim v'es Haaretz. The Shamayim refers to Shamayim Mayim. Hayom v'hu asahu v'yabeshes, and the earth. V'yabeshes yodav, his hands yotzaru. What is the theme of the first, the shir shel yoyim of yoyim rishayin? L'david mizmar, l'hashem ha'aretz muloya. Tevel v'yoshiva, the first day of creation, we discuss creation. So there's definitely a parallel between the first mizmar and the second mizmar. The second mizmar as well, there is a parallel. I'm not sure I remember it at this moment. Let me give a quick look if I can remember the parallel between the second mizmor and the shir shlayim of the second day. Godol Hashem umihulol mir, Hashem's grandeur, his greatness. And we say the same thing here, ki godol Hashem umihulol mir, exactly the same exact expression. And hayoyim yoyim sheni b'shabbos, we say godol Hashem, how far down is this in the mizmor? I just had it here one moment ago. Okay, but this is the basic idea. There are parallels between the 6 chapters and the 6 days. So we prepare, we review, basically what are we doing? We are reviewing the week. Make a cheshbon hanefesh, just like we learned in the Mishnah Berurah, that the last day of the Chodesh, we review. We review the entire month, and we have Yom Kippur Katan to be mechaper for the sins of the month. We do the same thing on Friday, right before we come into Shabbos. We chazer over all the days of the week. six mizmorim corresponding to the six shirois that are sung as part of the yom. And then we say the piyot of l'chododi, and then Shabbos, two chapters focusing on Shabbos. That's one idea. Another very interesting idea, this is a beautiful idea, this is a Gemara. The Gemara says that when you make a request, when you come to a king, you make a request, it's a pasuk, the Gemara himself, the Brachas. I don't remember where the Gemara is. He doesn't quote the source, and Rav Yitzchak doesn't quote the source. But there's a Gemara that says when you make a request of a king, you have to bow down seven times. You have to bow. That's derech eretz. As you each step, you bow seven times, coming closer to the king, and then you make your request. Each one of these chapters makes mention of bowing. It's fascinating selection. What is the common denominator? Why do we have these six? Okay, they're all in order. So you say, well, wait, once you start, so you just keep on going in order. They're not all in order because the last one, 90, the last one is 29, we jump away. But why are we going in order? Why these six, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, the common denominator of these six chapters, they all make mention of bowing. Bohu nishtachaveh v'nichroha. Let us go and bow and prostrate ourselves in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, in the second Mizmar, we also make mention of bowing. Yismichu Hashemayim. Towards the end. Okay, in the third. The middle. Shtachvu Hashem Bahad Ras Kodesh. Okay, the third. Hashem Moloch. There's also mention of bowing. Okay, you have to go study through. We're not going to go through now, but each of these six have bowing. Now, the last one, there is no bowing. That's problematic. Mizmor Shilia Mizmor the David. No, it does that. Number six does Hishtachvu Hashem Ahad Ras Kodesh. Number seven, where is the seventh bowing? So it could be the seventh bowing is, it doesn't say the seventh bowing in Mizmor Shilei Mashabos, but when do we bow the seventh time? Boi v'shalom. Boi v'shalom, ateres bala gamiz, m'sotuch m'yam sula, boi chali, boi chala. And when you say boi chala, what do you do? You bow. You turn out and you bow. So in total, there are seven bowings. And that has very great significance in being mekabel, coming close to Malchus, you make your request. Now, after you have the seven bowings, oh, now we can come into the Kedusha of Shabbos. Okay, this is another very beautiful idea, seven bowings in preparation for coming into Shabbos. Now, another idea which I find is my favorite, I think this is a beautiful gem. Shabbos is called two things in Chazal, a Malchusa, Shabbos Malchus, a queen, and it's also called a kala, a bride. Boi chala, boi chala. Why is Shabbos called a queen and a kala? So the truth is, in the Torah, Shabbos is referred to for two different reasons. We observe Shabbos for two different reasons. We have the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios. In the Luchos Rishonos, the Torah tells us to observe Shabbos as a zecher for Maaseh Bereishis. Hashem created the world in 6 days and He rested on day seven. In the Luchos Shnios, we remember Shabbos, we refer to Shabbos because of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So Rav Yitzchak Sender explains, he brings this down, I don't remember the source, but he cites a source that when we refer to Shabbos as Malchisa, we're referring to creation. Every Shabbos is a dual nature, creation, and a reminder that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and we should serve Hashem by giving Him one day, devoting ourselves to Hashem on that one day. So when we refer to Hashem in reference to creation, He created the world, that's Malchus. Because Malchus, what is creation all about? Hashem Moloch, Lashem Haaretz Umeloah. That's Hayom Harasalam, Zayom Tchilas Maasecha. Rosh Hashanah is creation, and on the Rosh Hashanah we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He is the Melech, Malchay Hamlochim. He is the Melech of the entire world. But then there's Shabbos, we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He redeemed us. What did Hashem do when He redeemed us? So to speak, He married us. Matan Torah is compared to be the big chasen, the big wedding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the chasen. Klal Yisrael is the kala. or you can reverse the roles, but the idea of relating to Shabbos, that Shabbos is the Kala, represents the theme of redemption. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and redeemed us and took us as the Am HaNivcha. So Malchusa, Shabbos Malchusa, is a reference to Shabbos of Maisa Bereishis. Boichala, Shabbos called the Bride, that represents Shabbos of Geula, of Zohar, Shabbos of the Luchos Shniyos, where we refer to the Shabbos of redemption. Two different aspects of Shabbos. That's why we have the L'chododi in between the first six and the last two. The theme of the first six chapters is Shabbos Me'ein Ma'aseh Bereishis. Look at all the different themes of these chapters. We're talking about creation, the past. We're talking about L'chudu Ma'aseh Bereishis, who mentioned Ki Hashem created Ashelo Hayam V'Hu Asahu Vayabeshes Yedav Yitzara. It's all about the past. Hashem is the creator. Then we're mafsik, we take a break, and we recite the piyut of L'chododi, which is the transition between the Shabbos of Bereishis and Shabbos of Redemption. Now, there's something that's important to mention, that when we refer to Shabbos of Redemption, redemption is an ongoing process. Yitzias Mishayim was the beginning of redemption, which ultimately climaxed in La'as Lavo, in Mashiach, and Olam Haba, which is Yom Shekula Shabbos Menucho L'chayei Ho'elamim. The last two chapters, Mizma Shilia Mashabas, Tavlos Hashem, Zam Shimcha Elia, Lahagabu Chazdecha, and Hashem Moloch Geos Lovish Lovish, the theme of these two chapters is Shabbos Me'ein Olam Haba, La Asalava, the future. The future of Nos HaMashiach. So that's why it's broken up in this fashion. The first six is Shabbos Malchisa, creation, Luchos Rishonos. The last two is Boikala is Shabbos of Geula, which represents La'asilavo, which is Mizmashil Yom HaShabbos, and Hashem Moloch, which is the theme of what's going to be La'asilavo. And we bring them together. What unites them is the piyut of L'chododi, which serves as the transition. There's one thing I left out, is that we also say this, the Ona B'Choyach, the tefillah of Nechuni Ben Akoneh. I'm not sure I'm saying that correctly, but this Ona B'Choyach also captures the same idea. There are six lines in Ona B'Choyach. Ona B'Koyach, the first one, Kavol Rinas, Nogibar, Baruchem. So those six lines of Ona B'Koyach correspond to the six chapters, that precede them. And the last thing, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus, each one of them has six words. Each one has six words. It's a very Kabbalistic prayer. You can read this prayer, you can put a break. Right. You can put it different ways, but there are six. This tefillah has exactly six lines. Each line corresponds to one of the days of the week. Then we conclude by saying Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam. That's not part of the prayer. That's something that was added, an addendum, and that corresponds to Shabbos. Shabbos, the time of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Voed. But we know that Bizman Hazeh, we don't say it out loud. We say it quietly because Hashem is not yet. We're not yet at that level where we are ready to say it out loud. But being that we're leading into Mizmah Shilia Mashabbos Hashem Moloch Geos Lovesh, and we're referring to the time of Me'ein La'olam Haba La'asalavo, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be revealed. So we right away allude to that with Baruch Shem K'malchuso Li'olam Voed. So it's part of the breakup between the six and the two. The six go first. That is the 6 days of the week. That's the past. That is Shabbos reminding us of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Then we're going to have the two more chapters which go together, Mizmah Shilia Mashabbos Shem Moloch, which is going to be Shabbos of Geula, Shabbos Kala, Me'ein Olam Haba La'asalavo. The first six lines of Ona B'Koyach correspond to the six that preceded of the past, and Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam Voed refers to what's going to be La'asalavo Yimos HaMashiach. Okay, let me tell you another quick idea of why is it that we don't recite Kabbalah Shabbos on Yom Tov? For the Mekabel Yom Tov. Shabbos with Mekabel Shabbos. How are Mekabel Shabbos? 6-8 chapters with a piyut, with Ona B'Koyach. Okay, it's true, it's a modern day thing, it's a Kabbalistic thing, 16th century, so it's where it was 400, 500 years, whatever it is. And when it comes to Yom Tov, Baruch Hu, Es Hashem, what happened? How come we don't have a Kabbalah? We don't go and turn around. Mikra Din, we should go into the fields. We go out to the west. The west is the place where the Shekhinah rests. Now, by the way, Mikra Hadin, you don't turn around backwards. You turn to the west. This is the side point. In many shuls, what happens? You're davening, you're facing the Aron, and then it comes to Boi V'Shalom. So you turn around. Why are you turning around? Because you're being mekabel the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah, the special Shekhinah of Shabbos, whatever that. Where is the Shekhinah located? Chazal tells the Shekhinah is in the west of the world. It has nothing to do with the Kosel HaMaravi. It is a concept. Shekhinah is found in the west, whatever that means. So when the Shekhinah of Shabbos arrives, we turn to the west. The problem is many shuls, maybe even more than half, do not face Mizrach. So if you're facing Mizrach and you're making an about face, you're facing the west. So then you're going out and you're turning to the Mekabel, the Shekhinah of Shabbos that's now entering. But if you daven in a shul where they daven Doroim, they daven south, and now you're making an about face, you're facing north. Mitzafoin, what's the pasuk? Tiposach hara. From the north comes the evil. It's not where the Shekhinah comes. So the truth is, you're not supposed to turn to the north. You're supposed to turn to the west. So even if you're davening in a shul where they're facing, south. You're not supposed to make an about face. You're supposed to turn to the west, because the Shekhinah is nothing to do with making an about face. Nothing to do. That okay, but for whatever reason, I don't know why, for whatever reason, people are not machter on this. They just make an about face. I once told a very big Talmud Chacham a chiddush. Okay, I told him this chiddush, and he didn't like it. So I want to tell it to you. Maybe you'll like it better. There are many halachs in Shulchan Aruch. And many. There are halachos that deal with east and west, Mizrach and the Beis HaKnesses, Mizrach. And there are contradictions in the Mishnah Brura. There are different contradictions. I don't remember them now. I used to know the contradictions. So they yes, how could it be there are contradictions? So some want to say that the Chafetz Chaim did not write the entire Mishnah Brura. He wrote part of it, his son wrote part of it, his son wrote part of it, and there were contradictions. Or in a Hanami, he made a mistake, he was a contradiction, and whatever it was, it was. So I once told the Rebbe Talmud Chacham that it's not a contradiction. I don't remember the details. There are two different types of Mizrach. There's the real Mizrach. And then, if for whatever reason you're in a Beis HaKnesses and you can't face the real Mizrach because the structure doesn't allow itself, so you have to face Dorim. Right? Many issues are like that. You face. But being that you're facing Dorim, in this shul, this is Mizrach. In other words, you're in a fantasy world. I don't mean a fantasy world, but if the situation is such that you have to face this, so as far as we're concerned, we're davening, this is Mizrach.
Mental Mizrach.
Exactly. This is halachic Mizrach.
We do that with the lulav and esrog. When you take the lulav and esrog, you go this way, that way. You don't know.
Well, there it's a dal ruchai, so it's right there. It's more right, left, up and down. It's not necessarily Mizrach. I hear what you're saying. Possibly you'll find some opinions that do say Mizrach and Marv. There's a virtual Mizrach. You're in the Beis HaKnesses. You're facing this way. This is your Mizrach. This is your Marv. This is your Tzof and your Dom, whatever it is. So with that, it's very good. That answers all the questions. So since you're in the shul and you're davening, where is the Shekhinah? The Shekhinah is Marv. Shekhinah is not tangible. There's a Marv. There's a Mizrach. Okay, in the big picture of things, so we know this, in Mizrach there's a Marv and so on and so forth. But if this, in your Beis HaKnesses, you're facing this way, that's your Mizrach. The Melu, when you turn around to Mekabel Shabbos, you make an about face. Because you're turning to your virtual Marv. The Shechina is in the Marv. Okay, in this Beis HaKnesses, that's the Marv. So it's not necessarily a contradiction why the Minig Olam is not to be Makbid in this, and to make an about face and turn in the wrong direction. Someone told me that in Yeshiva University, they are in the old Beis Medrash, now they have a new Beis Medrash, the old Beis Medrash is still there, but in the old Beis Medrash, there were a lot of very big gedolim that davened there over the years, and there's another halacha, that's part of the contradiction of Mishnah Berurah, if you're davening in a shul where they don't face Mizrach, where the Aron is not on the Mizrach wall, the Aron is Darom, you should still daven to Mizrach, which is very bizarre. Aaron is there, and everyone is a 90 degree angle davening Shimon Esrei in this direction. And no one does that. But what people do is they tilt. The Mishnah Berurah says, and then the Mishnah Berurah talks about a situation where you come to where everyone's doing it the wrong way. No one is tilting. Everyone is davening the wrong way. So you should not be parish Menatzibah. Just because you know better that really you should be davening Mizrach and not be davening Darom, don't make a scene. I knew a person that did this. I couldn't believe it was true. Everyone's davening Mizrach. They don't know the halach. Everyone's davening Mizrach. And this person, mamash, 90 degrees, he's davening Shimon Esrei this way. You're not allowed to do that. That's awesome. A wise guy. Yeah, a real wise guy. But it's fair Shimon Esrei, you're not allowed to do that. Nechsek Eshteris Shrius. He did that, fine. But there, Yeshiva University, they knew the halacha, so they tilted. Some did tilt, some did not tilt. So I think my cousin, Meir Soloveitchik, told me this. The one famous Soloveitchik. So he told me that in the yeshiva by Lchododi, it's a sight to see where everyone is turning, because some people daven Mizrach. They daven, whatever, and they don't know from this halach you have to tilt. And then when it comes to Kabbalah Shabbos, they make an about face. Other people are davening on an angle, so they make an about face. Some people know the halacha that the Shechina is in the Ma'arif, so they face the real Ma'arif. So everyone is going in all different directions when it comes to Kabbalah Shabbos. He was describing to me in detail how bizarre what it is. Where this years ago, so I don't know what's there today. Okay, so what was I? How was I coming? How did we get to that? So I was going to Yom Tov very quickly. So what about Yom Tov? Yom Tov, we do not have the custom to go to Mekabel. Why not? Why are we not going out to Mekabel Yom Tov the same way we go out to Mekabel Shabbos? So there are different answers. The basic answer is that you can say this two ways, two different mahalchim. Who is the guest and who is the host? Both ways, there are sources to say this both ways. So one approach is, in Shabbos, we, human beings, we are the host. Shabbos is a guest. Shabbos comes. When the guest comes, the host goes out to greet the guest. We're expecting a very distinguished guest, a guest of royalty. The president is coming. We're the host. We are going to host the queen. So the queen is coming. So it's only Derech Eretz that we open the door, we go outside and welcome the queen into the home. Yom Tov, we're not the host, we're the guest. Shalosh Palim Bashana, Yeroi Kol Zuchur Ches Pnei Hashem Elokecha B'mokam Asher Yivkar. The Shechina is resting in the Beis HaMikdash. Primarily, it's our duty on Yom Tov to go to the Beis HaMikdash, to go to the place of Shechina. The Shechina is the host. We're the guest. Nothing to greet. The Shechina should greet us. The Shechina is not going to greet us because the Shechina is the Malchus. Shabbos is a guest. A guest you have to go greet. Yom Tov is not a guest. Yom Tov is the host. We have to go to the host. If we're lazy, we're going to sit here in America, we're not going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we're not going, but there's no one to greet. There's no way to go out to. That's one. Or you can say just the opposite. Shabbos is the host. Shabbos is, but it's a very, because why? Because Shabbos k'diva kaimei. Shabbos is fixed. Every 7 days is Shabbos. No ands, ifs, and buts. You can't play games. So Shabbos is there, so we have to go and greet the Shabbos. Shabbos is there, we go to greet the Shabbos. It's a different approach. Just the opposite. Yom Tov, we're the boss. We're the host. Why? It's Beis Din that decides when is Yom Tov. If Beis Din wants Yom Tov to be on a Monday, they'll work it out. It'll be on a Monday. If they want it to be on a Sunday, they'll work it out. They'll add a day here, they'll take away a day there. They have the power to decide Kiddush HaChodesh. If the witnesses come and Beis Din says, no, 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 we don't want you to testify now, because if you're going to testify that Rosh Chodesh is today and that means so and so, you know what? Guess what? Beis Din is closed. No testimony today. The Rosh Chodesh will be tomorrow. Beis Din, we're the host. So when we're the host, we're the balabas. We're the balabas. We don't have to greet. The guests will come knock on our door. I just told you the opposite. That if you're the, it depends who the guest is. It depends on how you look at the guest. The different approaches. The idea though is there's a difference. Where, however you want to look at it, one is the guest. One is the host. And only one of these two is a proper for one party to greet the other party. You can play it both ways. But there is a difference. There is a difference. Once we have established one is the guest, one is the host, we can play around. And that's why we do it once, we do it once, and we don't do it the other time. I never knew, I don't know, this is something you missed, maybe you know, I'm sure we'll come across this. Why don't we do Kabbalah Shabbos on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed? Bishlam, we're not going to do Kabbalah Shabbos on let's say the first day Yom Tov Shabbos. First, so then you don't, because it's just a slight. It's a slight to the Yom Tov to do Kabbalah Shabbos, because you're giving more chash. Yom Tov is a special guest, and Shabbos is a, is there, so you don't want to slight the Yom Tov by only being Mekabel Shabbos. But when Shabbos Chol HaMoed, always bother me, why don't we do Kabbalah Shabbos on Shabbos Chol HaMoed? So I guess it's the same reason, because since... What?
Sorry.
It's abbreviated. So why is it abbreviated? Right, you say Mizr Shalim HaShabbos, correct? You say Mizr Shir... Okay, so I think now I think they could...
Different abbreviations.
Different abbreviations. You only see the first and the last.
That's another question is, when you have a Yom Tov that ends on Friday night, you also abbreviate.
Right, when Yom Tov ends Friday night. So it could be, I think, based on what we said before, that since the first six chapters refer to the days of the week, It's not a mundane week. When you have a Yom Tov, when you have a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, or you have Yom Tov ends on a Friday, and you go into Shabbos, you don't look back the past 6 days as ordinary 6 days. Normally, according to the first interpretation, the reason why we say those six chapters, because those six chapters are a review of the past week. We just went through a week of Chol, a mundane week. Let's recap, let's review, let's see how the week went. Now, if you're holding the middle of Yom Tov, it's now, you've gone through the first half of the week was Yom Tov, it's disgraceful to look back on the past couple of days of Yom Tov. Oh, they were just ordinary days, regulars. They weren't ordinary days. They were sacred days. Just like we don't say the Hinoyam, Hashem Elokeinu Eloheinu Maaseh Yadeinu Mitzvah Shabbos leading into Yom, because since the coming days are not going to be regular days, so we don't want to go say the Hinoyam, Hashem Elokeinu Maaseh Yadeinu. It's just not going to be Stam Maaseh Yadeinu. We're not going to work. It's Yom Tov. When you look back at the previous week, you just can't look back and say, oh, they were just regular days. They were holy days. So you have to abbreviate the look back to the past week. Only look forward to Mizr Shalim HaShabbos. And if you want to go say the P, you're just going to say in the abbreviated form. Okay, we'll stop here. Yeah.
Shabbos was given Hara.
Yeah.
Yom Tov was given Harsina.
Aha.
So maybe, like Shabbos, you might say that Shabbos was before Harsina, so maybe...
It was more of a Kabbalah, an anticipation, a yearning. It's a very nice idea. I like that very much. Very, very nice. Very good. Okay, so we'll stop here.